Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. So glad to have you on this journey with us today. And in the studio with me is Sharon Epps. Sharon, you are becoming increasingly more popular on Money Life. I think our listeners recognize you bring a different perspective to this whole topic of money.
Well, we certainly have fun talking about the different aspects of money and how it impacts each of us in our relationships.
Well, absolutely. And I appreciate your perspective as well, Sharon. And thank you for joining me today. We're going to be taking calls from our listeners and answering their questions on the air. And we just love talking with our listeners. And it always makes an exciting and dynamic program.
I always look forward to it. And I really look forward to sharing the joy, but also the heartache and pain. There is a lot of challenging situations that people are willing to share with us. And I just so appreciate them opening their heart that way.
Absolutely. Well, you and I have done some traveling recently. Tell us where you've been.
Well, I've been in Dallas, Texas. Some of you may recall that that's the place that my newborn granddaughter lives. So I got to spend an entire week holding her and taking care of her and being reminded of how little sleep you get when you have a newborn in the house.
I don't know who made this saying up, but that children keep you young. I think it's children keep you tired.
I think that's exactly right.
Sharon, it's been said that becoming a grandparent is the only experience in life that exceeds your already high expectations. Would you agree with that?
It is so far. We really just enjoyed loving her, hugging her, and then giving her mom and dad in the middle of the night to take care of her.
And you know, that's one area of the budget that's hard to control, isn't it, when you have grandkids? Because you want to go crazy.
You really do. This child has more outfits, I think, than she'll be able to wear.
I think somebody should start a small business renting clothes for children because they grow so fast, but you know, they wear it once and it's done.
That is so really true. And you know what? It's really encouraging to hear some of your travels. Where have you been lately?
Well, while you were visiting your grandbaby, I was able to go to Brazil and to work with our partners in South America, reaching that great country. And I had a wonderful experience. In fact, Sharon, it was so rich that I'm going to do an entire program of updating our listeners on what God is doing in that country and some of the lessons that I learned from them that I want to bring back to our audience here.
Well, you know, as I've heard a little sneak preview of your report, I'm just amazed at no matter what culture you live in, you still struggle with the same issues of making God the Lord of your finances and implementing that on a daily basis.
Well, and God's truth is universal. Well, we're going to take your questions today and answer them on the air. If you'd like to submit a question, just go to crown.org and click the Ask Chuck button, and we'll be happy to reply to you. In the studio with me today is Sharon Epps. I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and he says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective written by Austin Pryor. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet, it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're taking questions from our listeners and so happy to have you joining us on the program. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. Sharon, let's go straight to our callers.
Well, today we're looking forward to talking with Paul from Waynesboro, Virginia. Welcome, Paul.
Hello, Sharon. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Paul, welcome to Money Life. How can we help you today?
Hello, Chuck. How are you, sir? I have a question concerning tithing.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I've contributed to my 401k with pre-tax dollars, and also I've tithed on that money before it went in. And so my question is, as I'm in retirement now, and I begin to pull the money out that I've already paid tithes on, should I pay an additional tithe? And if so, what percentage, or do you have a rule of thumb? that you would recommend?
Well, Paul, first of all, I want to congratulate you on having a heart attitude of being willing and desiring to give whatever the Lord has entrusted to you. But technically, just speaking from a technical standpoint, you've already tithed on the original principle of that money, the money that you put in your 401k. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you really are not required to tithe on that money again, but you've had an increase through interest and dividends on the money that's been set aside. How long have you had it invested, Paul?
Maybe 20, 25 years.
Okay, so has it grown substantially over the years?
Yes, sir.
I think you should tithe on the increase, what's been increased over the original principal that you invested. So let me just give you an example. If I'm going to use very simple numbers. If you invested $10 in your 401k for 10 years, then you put in $100 of principal. And if today you have $200 in your account, then you've had $100 of growth. So I would recommend that you tithe on $100, which would be $10 total of the growth. And I would just take out whatever percent that it's grown, I would take out 10% of that every time you make a withdrawal from your account.
Okay.
Paul, I just generally like to call that the principle of the increase. It helps our family when we're thinking in terms of what we tithe on and what we don't. And it really applies to 401k. It applies to the sale of an asset or your home. And so for me, whenever I just think about that principle of the increase and God gives us an increase of any kind, then that's the opportunity we have to respond with generosity. So I thought that guideline might be helpful for you to think about, too.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, Paul, we also have a book called The Money Life Basic Book on Giving and Generosity, and I'd like to send that to you today. And thank you for calling.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for your ministry.
Well, we appreciate you, and we pray that that's been helpful to you.
Absolutely. I thank you for your program and the practical tips that you have for our listeners.
Thank you so much, Paul. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Paul. We have next Bethany from Miami, and she's waiting to talk with us.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Bethany, glad to have you on the program. How can we help you today?
Yes, thank you so much. I really need your help. My husband and I are having issues in our marriage, and one of the primary issues involves finances and debt. And we realized that we needed a third party to kind of help us through this. So I heard about the Crown classes that are being offered in my area, and I was so excited, thinking, okay, this must be God's answer for us, for our marriage. I discussed it with my husband, and he said that we should attend together. So we both went to the orientation, and I was all excited, and we enrolled together. And now we're in week four of the class, and he's not attended one session. I'm getting a little bit discouraged. I've attended every one, and I'm learning a lot. And I really want to get the most out of the class. So I need your help, wanting to know what should I do. I'm really thinking about maybe I should withdraw from the class. Or should I just, but most of our accounts are joint accounts, and I don't think I can do this alone. So I need your help on what to do.
Oh, Bethany, thank you for asking. We've encountered this so often because sometimes God has spouses in a different place. And first, I just want to encourage you that you are seeking God's direction. So just first, let me give you that encouragement. And I want to encourage you also to honor your husband, whether he chooses to go to the class or not. But if he's in agreement to let you go, even if he doesn't go, I really would suggest hang in there, continue to participate, and just pray that God will give you an opportunity to share what he's teaching you and the opportunity to change your husband's heart and allowing him to be open to it. You know, one of the things you might think about, I don't know if one of your facilitators is a man or possibly there's another husband in the class that might be either a friend of your husband or someone that your husband might be willing to just hear from and let them share their experience in the class as a possible encouragement.
None of the people in the class, they're not familiar with my husband. They continually ask and said, you know, we're praying for him. We hope he comes. They don't know him personally, so I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help at this point.
Well, Bethany, have you ever asked your husband why he doesn't want to attend? What is it that is bothering him about participating?
I've asked him several times, and he always tells me, well, I'm going to, for the first week, he said, I'm going to go. I just need to finish the book. And then we would sit down, and we would practice the scriptures together, and I would work with him, and we'd share, and he'd have some of the scriptures. But later on, he would continue to tell me he's coming, and then by the week's end, I realized he's not going to go. And so I don't know, because a lot of the budget's things I need to do with him.
Yes.
And I'm the one at home. I do the budget at home. So, and we're in a lot of debt. And so I really want to get out of debt, but I don't know how to do it. And I feel like I'm alone in this.
Yes. And I agree with Sharon that you should go ahead and participate and learn all you can. But I'd like to make a recommendation that you ask your husband to attend with you, even if he doesn't want to participate in the class. Maybe he doesn't want to share his verse or to talk or give answers, or maybe he doesn't even want to do his homework. I had a couple in one of my classes in that situation where it was actually reversed, where the man wanted to be there, the wife didn't. So she just sat in on the class, sort of like an auditor. She just sort of came but didn't engage. And as it turned out, God began to knit their hearts together, and they became united. They had terrible financial problems. They couldn't solve them separately, but they began to come together, and God used that in a powerful way. Well, Bethany, I hope that helps.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Well, keep us posted, and we will be praying for you and your husband.
Okay,
thank you, Bethany.
You both.
Thank you. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. We're taking your calls today. We've got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley with Sharon Epps in the studio with me today, taking your calls. And Sharon, we sort of ran out of time with Bethany. That's one of the difficulties of taking calls on the air. But my heart really goes out to her because I relate to her situation. I actually was one of those reluctant husbands. My wife knew we needed to be on the same page. We were not successful in the past trying to do that. She wanted me to participate, and I really didn't want to be there. But she very gently encouraged me. And because she was persistent, I participated, and that's where God changed my life so radically. So I just feel like we ought to pray for Bethany and pray for the unity in their marriage. And would you mind praying for Bethany right now,
Sharon? I'd love to do that. Father, we just come before you today on behalf of Bethany and her husband, and actually each couple that is struggling with this area of money. I just pray, Lord, that you will begin to work in their hearts, that you will give the reluctant spouse just the clarity of your purposes in their lives and the willingness to seek counsel in this difficult situation. And I pray for Bethany and each spouse like her that is desirous of following your plan, that she be able to learn as much as she can and truly fulfill your word that says that the wife may influence their husband. So I just pray for her, and I ask, Lord, that you deliver a miracle and a story that can give you the glory, and you're the glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I hope Bethany will keep us informed and that God will turn that situation around. Well, let's go back to our phone lines.
I think our next caller is Stephen from South Carolina. Stephen, we're so glad to hear from you.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you.
Well, hi, Stephen. This is Chuck. Welcome back to Money Life. You've been a guest before.
Yes, sir. I got to talk to you all December or mid-December sometime about our church funding significantly our adoption. So everything has gone pretty well. It was about a month later, and we got matched with the birth mother.
Wow.
Madison Grace was born March 25th.
Wow. Oh, congratulations. That's so exciting. I was just mentioning earlier that I spent the week a couple of weeks ago with our newborn granddaughter, who was 5 weeks old at the time, and I just was reminded of how little sleep you get and how much you're up around the clock. Are you all experiencing that?
Yes, we are trying to get her on a schedule, and Mom helps probably most of the 3 o'clock feedings, and I get the midnight feeding, so I'm probably getting more sleep than Mom is, but we're working through it. So.
Well, congratulations, Stephen. How is Mom doing? Is she hanging in there?
Yeah, she's doing really well. She's working still part-time, so I'm doing the morning shift, so she would probably wish that she could be here the whole time, and Lord willing, in June, she'll be coming home full-time. So.
Oh, that's great. Well, many of our listeners will recall your story from back in December because they listen every day to this program. So with your permission, we'd like to put a picture of Madison Grace up on our website so they can share in this blessing. Do you mind if we do that?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, she's beautiful.
Well, great. Do you have a question today that we can help you with, Stephen?
Yeah, we Madison was on Medicaid through her birth mother when she was born, and she actually had to stay an extra day after the birth mother's rights had been relinquished. She had to stay an extra day, and she was on Medicaid, and she actually is eligible for Medicaid for up to a year after birth. Well, in about 3 or 4 months, when she becomes legally ours, according to the state through a court decision, we technically could put her on our insurance. We just have personal insurance. We don't get it through our employer or anything. So I guess I was just wondering, ethically, it will be cheaper, actually, to keep her on Medicaid up to a year because we have a significantly high deductible. So I was just curious what if there's any wisdom as far as whether or not we should go ahead as soon as she becomes a legally ours, should we put her on our insurance, or is it okay to stay on Medicaid?
Well, I think legally and ethically, you certainly have the right to use those Medicaid benefits, and so I have no problem with it. It seems like the Lord provided not only Madison Grace, but also some health benefits that came with her.
Right.
But you may want to check with the Medicaid office in regard to how they actually view that.
Even though she's qualified for Medicaid, the Department of Health and Human Services has specific protocols that they follow and how they pay. And Medicaid is generally considered a payer of last resort, which basically means they look to see if there's any other potential payment, and they want that to be taken first before they pay. So I would encourage you to call Medicaid and make sure that you understand how their payments would work and that you're getting the coverage that you think you are. Though Medicaid is administered by the states, I can give you a 1-800 number. It's 888-549-0320. It's 1-888-549-0320, and that is the Department of Health and Human Services helpline, and they can give you more specifics about your individual situation.
Okay, that's great.
Stephen, thanks for calling. We're so excited for you, and keep in touch, will you?
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. God bless you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
You know, it's so wonderful to hear follow-up stories like that from Stephen and those that are really walking through this money map journey, going from destination to destination, following God's plan for their finances.
Well, absolutely, Sharon. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to pick up a copy of this very simple and effective tool called the Crown Money Map. You can do that by going to crown.org and get on the journey to financial freedom so that you can fulfill God's purposes for your life. Well, we're going to be taking more of your questions when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Has your child outgrown a piggy bank but not yet ready for a credit card? Well, there's something in between, a practical tool for anyone that you can use to teach teenagers and college students how to handle money wisely before they face greater financial decisions. It's the Cash Organizer from Crown Financial Ministries. The Cash Organizer is a durable, expanding file that's not much bigger than a checkbook. It's designed to create a convenient way to practice envelope budgeting, the proven way to keep from spending more than you make. With the Cash Organizer, when an envelope is empty, you can't spend any more money until you earn more money. It'll not only help your teenager or college student take control of their cash, but will also develop money management habits that'll prepare them for a lifetime. You can order the Cash Organizer online at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're taking callers' questions, and Lisa from Houston is on the line with us. Lisa, welcome to Money Life.
Yes, thank you very much.
We're so glad you're here, Lisa. How can we help you today?
The reason I'm calling is because I would like to know what the Bible says about commingling assets. My husband came into the marriage with only debt, no assets whatsoever, and I have quite a few assets, savings, retirement, and all that. And I'm wondering whether it's been a real bad conflict between us, because he feels like that I should put him as a joint owner where he can have access to all that I have. But he's pushed it so hard that I just don't feel like I can trust him at this point. And it's caused a lot of marital conflict.
Yes. Well, Lisa, I'm sorry you're going through that. And I think it's a very, very good question. Obviously, the scripture says that he wants that the idea of marriage in the scripture is that two people become as one. And I think it is appropriate to have joint accounts when you're united and you're trusting each other and you're on the same page. But it sounds like you're very hesitant about that. How long have you been married, Lisa?
A year and a half. And one of the reasons is that he just pushes it so hard. We do have a joint account for our money together. We've got married. It's just my assets before that he wants access to. And I just have a problem with it because of the money management on his part. I just don't trust him.
Well, it sounds like there are some foundational issues. Larry Burkett used to always say that money's an outside indicator of the inward spiritual issues. And so I would really encourage you. I want to encourage you that I'm so thankful that you're looking for what the Bible says, because that's really your starting place. And I would encourage you to ask him if he would be willing to go to a Christian minister or a Christian counselor and make an agreement that you both would follow what the Bible says, so that it takes it away from what you want versus what he wants and really helps you both focus on what the Lord would have you do.
Okay. Okay.
And we would be willing to help with that, Lisa. If someone here can talk with you and your husband, we have coaches that are very experienced in bringing couples together in regard to financial issues. And our top priority would be to help you save your marriage. And God can certainly do that. And I would just ask you to pray to that end and to make every effort to be united, but to be wise as you are doing right now.
Good. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your advice.
Lisa, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, we're out of time today, Sharon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.